Yes, children, this is the Cool Out Corner. We're slowing it down for all the lovers in the house.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuckles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions, and then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone?
And now.
Gorillas are awesome. I bet they can punch really hard.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 14th of May.
Is Snuggles the dog going to be Casey Kasem's lasting legacy if he does pass here, coming up here pretty soon? Is that going to be what people are going to most remember him for?
It's what I'm going to remember him for.
I think we're going to remember him as, is Don on the phone, but it's part of it, yeah. Definitely part of the same story.
Welcome in, party people, to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for, what did you say, it was, it's Wednesday the 15th already?
We said 14th.
It's the 14th.
Is it 15th? I said 14th. I'm not sure if I'm right or wrong, though.
Why?
It's the 14th.
I think it's the 14th.
Okay, it's the 14th.
All right.
So the Weenie Roast is only a couple of weeks away. The summer is flying by. It's practically Christmas. It's certainly practically half Christmas. That's almost here. I do know
that.
Stop
it.
I wanted to invite the king to come in because I feel like we're going to lose him. I feel like we may find him swinging from the rafters. He may be hanging himself during the show today, trying to survive after last night's Clippers game.
Bean rubs things in.
I'm not rubbing things in. I want to hear from Dave. I want him to walk us through for the people who did not see that last minute of the game. I want him to walk him through what happened and process his feelings because I think Dave needs to get some stuff off his chest.
Hey, Bean.
Hi, King. Sorry, dude. Kevin, did you see it? Do you know about it?
I know about it. I didn't see it.
I heard robbery.
I didn't watch it.
What?
Really?
No, I just kidding.
No.
yeah. Well, you know, it wasn't a good time. It wasn't a good last minute. It wasn't a good minute played by the Clippers. And it wasn't a good minute for the refs.
Right.
They missed a lot of things, but ultimately, the Clippers blew it.
Now, Doc Rivers, who seems like a very smart and very reasonable and very fair man, is legitimately, in his words, pissed about this. He's not going, well, it's just one of those things. Hey, well, the refs missed one. I mean, he's furious and doesn't really understand how it happened. Why was this series of events so egregious, Dave?
Well, what Doc was pissed about was this one play where Chris Paul turned the ball over late. They were up by two. He turned the ball over, and Seth Alosha went to the basket, and Matt Barnes slapped it out.
Right.
So they initially called it out of bounds for the Oklahoma City Thunder. But he obviously lost the ball and pushed it out. So they went to the review, and when they reviewed it, it was clearly shown that the Thunder player knocked it out, and yet they still gave him the ball. And this happened to us, the Clippers, against Golden State, where they lost the game because the same play was called on Chris Paul.
But what's the point of the review if they look at it and then just still get it wrong?
That's what everyone's upset about. And that's
the... It was clear. There was no question.
There was no question.
Yeah. Could have been one or the other?
Nope. It was... And they said they only had two views, yet there was many angles.
Yeah, from the television, there were... I mean, you got the impression that everybody in the stands knew what had happened.
Yeah.
Even they were surprised.
And
the
refs are supposed to have every single angle available.
Do they have somebody sketching what happened? How do they not have at least what we can see?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what... You know, he even said, come on, man, that's our ball. Don't, you know, come on, man. And nothing. And then, you know.
Had you gotten the ball instead of the other team, would the Clippers have won?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because they would have fouled Chris and then or fouled someone and then they would have made free throws. And that. But then they also called a phantom foul on a three-pointer by Russell Westbrook, you know. And that's what set everyone off, too, because then they took the lead and then the Clippers executed a horrible play. And
with less than a minute left, the Clippers were up by what? 7 points.
Yeah, they were up.
That's a collapse.
Yeah, they blew it.
But it is easy to collapse when you've got the refs on, you know, working for Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah. Well, two really bad calls and, you know, a couple of turnovers and there's the game, you know. And they led most of the way and They just blew it.
The problem is against a team like Oklahoma City, they're a good team.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have a couple of those things go against you,
against
a team like that, they
don't need any help.
You
know, it's like, so you give it to them, and the result is now the Clippers are down.
Anybody get a technical?
No really? Technicals. Yeah, no technicals, just bad turnovers and just bad fouls called. And you know, it's a sad game.
The Clippers are not enjoying these playoffs.
Not at all. I'm not enjoying these playoffs.
I mean, considering all season long, this is the best team the Clippers have ever had, and they're so looking forward to the playoffs, and then to have the Sterling thing break right during the first round, and then to have this happen in the second round, I mean, they just want to clear the deck and just play basketball.
I know.
And you know what? There are obstacles in their way.
And these series are aging me, you know? Pretty soon I'm going to look like Beer Mug.
No, take it easy. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Grays are popping out everywhere, man.
If there's anything we can do for you, Dave, if we need to, you know, send out for cupcakes or whatever we need to do, you just tell us, man. We're here for you.
We do want to keep you alive.
Yes, we do. I don't want you to death by Clippers. I don't want that.
Thanks.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
This is displeasing.
We're going to talk to Mama Muggs today.
Oh, Mama Muggs.
Mama Muggs. I don't know if you remember last time we talked to her, if you heard it, but she's Dodger fan number one.
Yep.
She did. They were at the World Series game when Kirk Gibson hit the home run, and they left early because the Dodgers were behind. So they didn't technically see that play.
Yeah.
And she continues to do that to this day, which we love. Because, like, if you miss a moment like that, don't you then forever stay for the end of the game, just in case?
Yep. Not going to let that happen again.
Right, but no. And she got the greatest Mother's Day gift ever, I think, from Muggs. At least he's telling it that way. So we're going to talk to her and check in and find out what's going on. We got Dr. Drew on the program today. We have Jared Nayute and Olivia Puckett. They are cast members from American Idiot, the musical.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, did you ever see that show?
I did. I saw it over at the Music Center. It was
Boy, that's a great album.
Yeah.
Boy, that's an album that really lent itself to making it a Broadway show.
Yeah.
It?
Yeah, it was perfect.
We also have What Makes Men Cry. Because John Hamm.
Last night's game.
The Clippers. Yeah. John Hamm came out and said that it was Frozen. I'm not sure that's the one you want to admit, but okay. All right. And we have your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014 tickets for you today. Also, Coldplay at UCLA's Race Hall and boxing at the Fabulous Forum. All those giveaways on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show as we continue to try to buy your love. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, if Justin Bieber is Lex Luthor, then I think TMZ is the Justice League. They just follow his every move and every crime that he commits. They are there.
Love it.
They were again there yesterday when they had the story that Justin Bieber is being investigated for attempted robbery.
Attempted robbery?
Yes.
Now, is that new for him? Is that new on his rap sheet?
I do not believe he's been charged with this before. And when you read the story, it smacks of a little letter of the law. But I'll tell you what happened. Allegedly, and you can make up your own mind, a woman was at Castle Park, up there in Sherman Oaks, with her kid, playing a little mini golf, a little putt-putt. And there was Justin and his entourage also playing miniature golf and then hitting some balls in the batting cages. Now, the woman says Justin and his crew got into a fight with some guys at the batting cages, and she pulled out her cell phone to take some photographs.
Right.
That's when Justin noticed her with her cell phone in her hand and demanded to see her phone so he could erase any photos that she had on her phone.
Because he's allowed to do that, right?
Turns out not so much. She refused to give him the phone and put it in her purse. That's when Justin, again, according to the woman, went into her purse.
Good.
Oh.
And pulled the phone out. The woman began wrestling with Bieber, she said, trying to get her phone back. He ripped it out of her hands. But he couldn't accomplish his mission because the phone was locked. So he demands that she unlocks the phone to see if there's any pictures of him fighting in the batting cages.
Now, and that's legal.
That is also not legal.
Not legal.
She obliged. I'm not sure why, but she did. She showed Justin that she, in fact, hadn't taken any photos. She didn't have a chance. And Justin started screaming at her in front of her and her 13-year-old daughter.
Nice.
You're humiliating yourself in front of your daughter. Why don't you just get out of here? And reportedly, the 13-year-old girl started to cry at that point.
If you know this woman who's involved in this, we would love to talk to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sherman Oaks, for God's sakes. We've got to know somebody involved in this melee. She says at that point, Justin turned and then started screaming at someone else.
Good.
Oh, good. Something came along to attract his attention. Then there was a tussle with the Castle Park security guard. That poor bastard. You can see that photo on TMZ.com. He was trying to calm down the situation. Anyway, the woman lodged a complaint with the LAPD. Cops went to her home last night to take a report to determine if a crime had occurred, and apparently they are investigating.
Guilty!
Now, let me ask you guys, do you think a crime occurred?
I'd say yes.
I don't know if it's attempted robbery, though. I mean, I don't think he was trying to snatch the phone out of her purse to run away with it and sell it for meth, you know?
Right.
I think maybe assault, maybe?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that'd be a tough one. But look, I know Justin Bieber's lost his mind and he's stupid and he doesn't think clearly. But with the trouble he's been in, like Ralph, you just told us about him getting held up at LAX, trying to come into the country, you know, for hours because of the record he already has. Wouldn't you think he'd be trying to stay out of trouble as much as possible right now rather than invite it?
Yeah.
Just nothing but poor choices for that kid.
He seems to be a genuine douchebag.
He really does.
Like, it's like a deep down inside bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you'd think that the first five or six times he's accused of something, you go, all right, well, maybe he'll learn.
Right.
Because
or he's in unusual circumstances where he, you know, he gets put in a lot of bad situations that are tough to come out of. He's immature or whatever. But now Ralph's right. He's just a bad person through and through.
I feel like he's going to be doing this when he's 60.
I do too.
Stealing stuff, beating people up, trying.
Young celebrities, especially, you know, money and booze or something will cause them to act out and be dumb, be goofy. But he just seems like an asshole, like a petty little, just an arrogant little prick.
Yeah.
You know, what did it for me was the video when he was given the deposition.
Oh, yes.
That's when you really see him. He's not on the scissor. He's not out in front of people. He's not in the crowd. He's just being a dick to people that he should just be having a conversation with.
Well, he's minutes away from Don't You Know Who I Am, by the way. Because he's certainly not. There's nothing else that he's doing to counter this terrible behavior.
Yeah. It's not like he's making brilliant music that everyone is demanding to hear, and there's a forgiveness factor there. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the meltdown, the complete meltdown. Kim Kardashian, another person I'm looking forward to disappearing someday, is never happy, according to Fran. She's just miserable, which makes me so happy. I love
what a bummer.
Looks like she just goes through her life with a scowl on her face, and her fiance's got a scowl on his face. And the only upside of this whole thing for me is they just don't really seem happy. For all the fame and money and all that stuff, they just don't seem happy.
They just seem miserable.
Apparently, her fiance, Kanye West, has a new protege named Pia Mia. Of course she is.
Yeah.
She is 17 years old. And Kim apparently super jealous, losing her mind because he's mentoring this 17-year-old starlet wannabe.
Define mentoring.
Boning.
Yeah.
And Mia is also apparently close friends with Kim's younger sisters, Kylie and Kendall Jenner. This whole thing sounds like a telenovela.
Does.
With all these different characters. Oh, Tia, Mia, and Kendall, and Cranky, and... I hate them. You know who I don't hate, though?
I don't. It's a pretty big list.
The legendary Bob Dylan. He released a new single yesterday.
Oh, I don't care.
It's a cover of a Frank Sinatra song from 1945.
Good. One of his big hits?
No.
New York, New York?
Nope.
My Way?
No.
Huh.
It's called Full Moon and Empty Arms.
Did you guys listen to it yesterday?
No.
I did not yet.
You are going to be surprised that he is singing more clearly than we are used to.
Well, I will hunt it down and I'll bring you a little taste.
I have a clip. I brought it in.
Oh, awesome. Great.
Do you want to hear some of the brand new Bob Dylan?
Please.
See what I mean about the articulation? Just
it is better than articulate ever. Than the last time.
Today's celebrity birthdays. George Lucas is 70 years old today. Robert Zemeckis is 62. Actor Tim Roth turns 53. CeCe DeVille from Poison, guitarist for that band, is 52. Actress Kate Blanchett is 45. Sofia Coppola celebrates her 43rd birthday. Black Keys singer and guitarist Dan Auerbach is 35. Uriah Faber of the UFC turns 35 as well. Amber Tamblyn, we love her, was 31.
Bell or no bell for Miss Tamblyn, you guys?
Oh, heck yes.
I think
she's
so,
cute,
yeah.
Right?
I
super cute.
So.
Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook, is 30. Bastard. Stupid.
Kevin, what were you doing 30. When you were 30?
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Still?
Sure. Yeah.
You spent the better part of your young adulthood throwing rocks at Robbie Joyner. What did he do to you? Just place, wrong time?
I forget. It's like the Hatfields McCoys. I forget now.
Just an age-old
goes
battle.
Way back, yeah.
Between the Riders and the...
I think my parents used to throw rocks at his parents.
Oh, I see.
I think so.
Long-standing.
If we were to find Robbie Joyner today, do you think he's just cowering in the basement, just afraid to leave his house because he's thinking Kevin's out there with another rock?
No, I imagine he wouldn't recognize who I am.
Probably. Don't think you made an imprint on him by throwing rocks at him? I'd remember a guy who threw rocks at me.
Not
for
very
15
accurate.
Years.
Not very accurate.
You missed a lot.
He didn't even know I was throwing about half the time.
Actress Miranda Cosgrove is 21, and DJ Martin Garrix is 18. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks so much for tuning in here on a Wednesday morning. Yesterday, Ralph brought us the story of Alec Baldwin's latest run-in with New York's finest. He's got a real problem with the police in general, doesn't he, Ralph? Because he thinks they don't do enough to protect him and his family from the paparazzi that he endures every day, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So he already has a burr in his saddle about the police. And yesterday, when they tried to give him a ticket for riding his bicycle the wrong way down Fifth Avenue, he pretty much just had an aneurysm.
Right? By the way,
just exploded at them.
I sort of don't blame him. If you gave a ticket to everybody that rides their bike the wrong way in New York City, it's like getting a jaywalking ticket.
Yeah.
Everyone does it.
However, yeah. I can also see why the law's in place, because riding the wrong way down Fifth, you could be a suicide mission.
Sure.
You could easily die doing that. So it's one of those laws that they put in place trying to protect people from themselves.
Exactly. And Alec Baldwin was in the wrong and should have just accepted that. But the problem, the flashpoint was they wanted to send him a summons and they asked for ID. And he didn't have any ID with him. And that's when he really got fierce. And that's when it turned into, how old are you that you don't know who I am? You know, because he's Alec Baldwin. Who doesn't know who Alec Baldwin is?
And he's had many, many run-ins with the police.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They all pretty much know who he is.
So we got into a little conversation about that, about carrying ID yesterday, and you guys were surprised to find that I was disappointed to see that you have to carry ID with you at all times.
First of all, that can't be much of a surprise.
It's a burden. I feel like it's an undue burden on a citizen of the United States to have to carry ID if they don't want to.
They are heavy.
It is,
that's for sure. They are bulky and unwieldy.
You have
those
to carry
IDs.
Them in a wheelbarrow. So,
you need to carry ID with you if you're operating a motor vehicle. I fully support having a driver's license.
Yeah,
that's not what I'm talking about.
If I walk out the door to walk a dog, I'm not carrying my ID with me. I have a poop bag and a leash.
Right.
All right, rebel.
You're a crazy
and
woman.
And I don't have pockets.
But it's more than you were just disappointed or whatever.
Yeah,
you're like, oh no, I don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. Down with the man.
It does make me uncomfortable. I don't think you should be required to carry ID if you're not. I don't think there are any laws on the books that require you to carry ID. I don't think that those exist, but I do know that if they ask you for ID because they are suspicious of you for something else, they can add additional charges. And I think that's what happened with Alec Baldwin.
Wait, how could they add additional charges if it's not in the law somewhere?
Yeah, there must be a law if they can add charges.
I don't know what the specifics of the law are, but I do know I don't like it.
What's the downside of carrying your ID?
Right. That's what I'm
curious
about.
Is that like a big burden to you?
The downside of carrying ID is you don't want the government in your business all the time.
But you exist. This isn't like really business that has anything to do with it. You're already there. You're in the government. You're in the country. You live here. You're part of the society.
Right.
That ship has sailed.
But I feel like, and I know this, you know, I know this doesn't fall under, is it the Fourth Amendment, the unreasonable search and seizure? Is that what it is?
I believe it is.
I know it doesn't fall strictly under that because they're not coming into your home or something like that.
Right.
You're out in the street. You're in the public street. But I just feel like there's a time and a place for the government to demand information from you, and when Lisa's walking her dog, that's not that time.
Randomly going up to Lisa when she's walking your dog, like, hey, you, where are your papers? But if there's an accident or something, or if she's a witness to a crime, or if there's something that she needs to participate in to help the police do their job, then yes, she should have to be able to confirm her identity.
Well, they
I
can
like
walk
it.
Back with me to the house.
Yeah, they're willing
Depending
to do
on
that.
How hunky the cop is, yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Just as long as you inconvenience the police for your schedule, Lisa, that's all we care about.
So, Bean, you think the government's overreaching here. You don't want them, like you said, all up in your business, in your, in your grill.
Yeah. Look, I'm not saying I'm not saying go out of your way to impede the progress in an investigation. I'm not saying that at all. I just – I think I'm more in – look, there are a lot of situations that would happen where I would probably happily provide my ID and happily assist the
police.
Apparently
it depends. Not.
It depends on
apparently not.
It depends all if I'm you're in the mood.
All I'm saying is in the bigger picture, I just am uncomfortable with the government being able to require you to carry ID or to identify even who you are and what your name is if you haven't done anything.
What kind of shady crap are you doing?
I'm not into anything shady at all.
Hey, well, you have a name, right?
Take it easy.
You have a name. You're a citizen. You exist and you have a name. That's already established, right? But for some reason, you don't want the police to be able to know that? You want to be able to remain anonymous should you choose fit?
You're making it sound silly.
Well, it's stupid.
It is silly.
Look, this is what I said to you. By the way, the phones are ringing off the hook, and I guarantee you that there are a lot of people who agree with me.
Sure.
But this is what I was saying to you guys yesterday, which is the people who say, I don't mind the NSA listening to my phone calls because I don't have anything to hide. This is very similar to that. I don't want the NSA to listen to my phone calls.
It's the same thing as them listening to your phone call while you're in your house.
I'm saying I don't want them to listen to my phone calls even if I have nothing to hide.
But it's
just
very
like I don't
different.
Want to, I don't think it is though.
It
I
is.
Think
it's completely different.
I think it's the government needing to know more about them than they need to or no. that I'm willing to share.
It's a private conversation between two people that you're having inside your home or on your phone.
I don't
it's
like
different
it.
Than what your name is. Are you hiding that? Is that a secret that no only you and one other person have this little relationship where you tell each other your names? Oh, my name's Bean. Nice to meet you. My name's Jim. You know, the government's listening in on that. Your name's out there. Everybody knows your name. It's not a secret.
Is no one with me?
It's also not going to do any harm for you to tell them your name, right? Let's say that they pull you over for whatever ticket, whatever they want to give you.
That's not the point. The point is whether it does me harm or not. It's whether I should have to provide it if I don't want to.
Well, you should have to provide it if you don't want.
Well,
I don't
yeah,
think
I'm
if you,
not with you
look,
on that.
You either have to provide it or you don't. I don't know that if you don't want to comes into play.
Yeah.
And again, the example you're starting to give is if I'm pulled over, and that's a completely different circumstance. If I'm operating a motor vehicle, I have to have ID.
And I know this is laughable, but what if you're riding a bike and they pull you over?
No.
Shouldn't have to.
Really?
You could stand there and go, you don't know who I am. You don't know who I am.
All right, listen. We got a lot of people, by the way, who are calling in to agree with me, including Rich from Thousand Oaks. But let's go to Mr. X. I don't know what Mr. X's deal is, but he's on the phone here on line 9.
Bean's right, man. Bean's right.
Mr. X?
Yeah, that's right. I'm not giving you my name, man. You're not getting my stinking name. I don't know how you work.
Does your name give that much away about you?
It gives too damn much away, man. Then what's next? Then you're putting stuff in my food to make me sterile.
I don't think that's what's next.
That.
Whoa.
What?
What's happening?
I'm nailing my door shut, man. That's how they get you.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah, first it comes the name. Then they go for your genitals. Next thing you know, they're shooting radio waves into your brain.
Again, I'm not sure step one of requiring your IP.
Are you all right, Mr. X? What are you doing?
I just knocked over my canned food supply. I'm sorry.
But see, now with you calling in, you make me sound like a nut job. I'm not saying
no,
any of
man,
these things.
You're absolutely right. You're the only guy talking sense, man. First thing, they start demanding you, oh, what's your name? Then you give me your name. Oh, then where do you live? What's next? Radiation, man. Radiation. They start bombarding your house with radiation, trying to mutate you.
That's not
next. It's some kind of half man, half sheep animal. And the next thing you know, they're corralling you up and putting you down and to some sort of place where they render you into meat. One of the greenest people, man.
How did I go from riding a bike with no ID to being a half man, half sheep?
You're right, Bean, man. This is how they're going to get us. There's only one thing you can do. Keep doing what you're doing, man. Live on that island.
Is he fighting the good fight?
Raise your own food. Don't let them know who you are, man. If it all comes down, it's going to be you, me, and the llamas.
I'm with you guys. We're going to meet the cast from American Idiot, hear some live music next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, and give you a chance to win your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014 in about 20 minutes. But first, you sound kind of sad, Kevin. What's going on?
Well, you know we go to Subway every morning.
Every morning.
Every single morning.
Yes.
Yep, I'm always surprised by that.
Because you can get different things.
Uh-huh.
Change up the sandwich a bit. A little healthier.
And look what it did for Jared. Why is none of that working for Beer Mug?
He orders five sandwiches, all footlongs. I don't know if you remember, but during the Super Bowl, they had a commercial for the Fritos Chicken Enchilada Melt.
Oh,
right?
My God. That sounds amazing.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Right.
Yeah.
So I come in the day after the Super Bowl, and the King of Mexico goes, why don't you get that Fritos sandwich? That looked good. And I said, absolutely. Went in. Asked the Subway, I'd like that that Frito sandwich, please. And they said, really? No one's ordered that. So they looked up at the picture on the wall, and they made me one.
Well, that's nice.
Based on the picture at the wall.
Okay.
Good customer service.
Good?
It was great.
Okay.
I've had it many times since. Apparently, I'm the only one.
What? No one else orders that?
Well, I do know that as of today, no longer can I get Fritos on my sandwich.
They discontinued? They took it off the menu?
They did.
How do you launch a sandwich at the Super Bowl and then it's gone 3 months later?
Apparently, only one person orders it.
Oh, Kevin.
Apparently, I'm the only one. Now, could I put Fritos on a sandwich? Sure.
Do they still sell a chicken enchilada melt just without the Fritos? Or do they discontinue? Oh, they do. Okay.
I don't know. We have Chip.
Oh, okay.
We have Chip at the Subway right now.
Okay.
Chip.
Hey, guys.
Chip, you were way too happy to give me that news yesterday.
Yeah, I was. I just wanted to see you, just your spirit crushed. You know, I make five trips a week to Subway.
Yeah.
And I get your sandwich five times.
Yeah.
Fritos every day.
Oh, come on. Not every day. Like four out of five.
Oh, I believe her.
Four out of five.
All right.
And to tell you that it was gone just made me so happy.
Well, that's just mean, Chip.
That is mean.
Yeah. So how did they break the news to you? So you went in yesterday because Chip was kind enough to run out and get our food in the morning. So you went in yesterday and how did it even come up that it was being discontinued?
Okay, so here's what happens. We have Marisol here who makes our sandwiches every day.
Oh, okay.
She's great. I can just give her names and she has everything memorized.
Like, wow.
Kevin mugs us 12 sandwiches. Dave, Ralph, like she has them all boom, boom, boom. So I say Kevin and she's like, oh. You got to tell Kevin, today's the last day of these sandwiches. He's not going to get them anymore.
And this was yesterday.
Very sad. Yeah, very yesterday. She was very sad to pass along the news.
Yeah, unlike other people who shall rename nameless Chip.
Like, what is that about some people who love to give bad news?
In general, no. It's just to Kevin, yes.
Yeah. And I've always asked this, like, why does Kevin get so delighted if somebody gets a traffic ticket? Like, if Muggs comes in and he got a speeding ticket, Kevin is like, yeah! Like, what is with people who are just reveling in bad news? I don't get that.
Chip, I don't get that either. Yeah. You are a mean, awful person. Can we talk to Marisol?
Well, yeah, do you want to talk to Marisol?
Yes, please.
All right, hold on a second.
Oh, she's very sweet.
Awesome.
Hello.
Hi, Marisol. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Good. How are you?
Well, we're sad. To be honest, we're a little bit sad because you've dealt us a terrible blow. You have awful news about Kevin's favorite sandwich.
I know. I'm sorry, you know.
I'm trying
to do our best over here. But if you want, we can make something different for you.
Right, listen.
You have to try another one.
I've tried every sandwich you have. I love them all. But not this one. Huh? Am I the only one that ordered that sandwich? How could nobody else want Fritos on their sandwich?
Well, if you want, we can make a different sandwich and we can put Fritos right now.
Well, I think what Kevin was asking, Marisol, is were you not selling very many of them? Were not very many people buying that sandwich?
A lot.
A lot of people?
What?
What's happening?
Every like 2 or 3 months, they change the menu.
Oh, I see. So this is
like that. Yeah.
So that was like a special thing.
Yeah, right now, like, special this month is the chicken salad.
Chicken salad.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
Chicken salad. You have to try that one. Maybe you want to like it.
With Fritos on it.
Can you put Fritos on it?
We can put Fritos on it. Yeah.
I love Marisol.
Why not?
I love your attitude.
Why not, indeed? All right, so Kevin, look, since Chip is there getting food, do you want to try the chicken salad with Fritos?
I would.
Excellent. Okay, I'm
right now. I would like to try that.
All right,
Marisol. I'm going to make you happy today.
You're always awesome.
USA! USA! USA!
All right, well, we love coming to Subway. Thanks so much for talking to us. Could you put Chip back on the phone?
Hey, punch her in the face first.
Why not?
Punch Chip right in the face.
No.
Marisol, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Yeah, punch her in the face.
Oh, but I don't see him.
No, she's too nice. All right.
She can't see Chip over the counter, by the way. Yeah. Chip's too little.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
By now, you know the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014 is coming up in a couple of weeks on Saturday, May 31st at Verizon with Avicii and Beck and Foster the People and Fall Out Boy and The Neighborhood and Bastille and Fits and the Tantrums and so much more. We would like you to be there, and you can call right now at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to earn your way in. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets coming up right after the top of the hour. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Good morning.
Justin Bieber accused of attempted robbery. Hot fudge, holy moly!
Yeah!
What's going on? Hot fudge, holy moly! Gonna have some fun.
It's true. Cops are investigating Bieber for attempted robbery. San Fernando Valley woman claims that Justin stole her phone from her. In essence, they were wrestling. She was trying to get her phone back. He went into her purse to get it and took it from her. Ripped it out of her hands.
I think that's cool, right?
Not so much.
Not cool. Okay.
What was this all over? Well, she was at the Castle Park Entertainment Complex in Sherman Oaks on Tuesday night, playing a little miniature golf with her 13-year-old, and so was Bieber. He was there and also in the batting cages. That's when he got into a bit of a tussle with some other guys there at the batting cage, allegedly. She took out her cell phone to take some pictures. Justin demanded to take her phone from her to erase any photos that she may have taken. She refused. She put it in her purse. He went into her purse and grabbed it. The phone was locked. He demanded she unlock it so she could see he could see her photos.
That's cool, right?
It's not cool.
Not cool.
She obliged, and in fact, she hadn't taken any photos, so he just tossed the phone back to her and screamed, "You're humiliating yourself in front of your daughter. Why don't you just get out of here?" To which point, her 13-year-old daughter started to cry. Castle Park security guard came over. He got involved. Anyway, she lodged a complaint with the LAPD, and they went to her home Tuesday night to take a report to see if a crime had occurred, and they are currently investigating her side of the story. We were asking whether it was really robbery or not. And so I got this email from one of our listeners. I won't identify him by name. He said, I work in law enforcement. I was listening to your Showbiz Beat this morning regarding Justin Bieber's little tirade at Castle Park. It is, in fact, a robbery.
Oh. Fantastic!
Due to the fact there was a struggle over property, and he temporarily deprived her of that property.
Death penalty?
Hopefully LAPD will file charges on the little douchebag, he writes. So I guess that's all it has to take, is there has to be some force involved. He has to remove the property from the victim.
Even if you give it back.
Even
still,
if you give it back,
robbery.
You are deprived of your property. That's considered a robbery. So,
life in prison without the opportunity of parole?
Yeah, whatever you say, I'm all for it. Yes, you know
guilty.
Me.
Guilty!
That's a murder button. Do they still have that? They still have the murder button?
I don't know if they do or not. Yeah. I believe so, though.
Murder.
Yeah.
This is kind of cool, what Modern Family is doing. I don't know if you heard about this or not. The very popular ABC sitcom has decided to help some people out in honor of the fact that Mitch and Cam are finally getting married on Modern Family. The network, ABC, paid for everyone's license and ceremony fees at New York City's clerk's office last Monday in honor of the marriage.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Great.
So because Cam and Mitch got married on Modern Family, they decided they would pick up the tab for everyone who was getting married on that day in the New York City clerk's office. How cool is that?
That's very cool.
You can see Cam and Mitch tie the knot in a two-part special kicking off tonight at 9 p.m. if you want to watch that. But I thought it was nice for ABC to do that for some folks. Celebrating the magic that is marriage. Mowage. Let's take a look at... I promised you a little Bob Dylan, didn't I? I was talking about it an hour ago. Bob Dylan has released a new single, new music from Bob Dylan. Everyone's very excited. It is it's a cover song.
That's very unusual for Bob, by the way.
Of a Frank Sinatra song from 1945 called Full Moon and Empty Arms.
You think he thought he wrote it?
Maybe he did. It's horrific. It's stunning in its banal inanity.
I don't know that word.
It makes you sleepy.
Okay.
Here's a little of Full Moon Empty Arms. That's unlistenable. Isn't that awful?
That is terrible.
Full moon and empty arms.
Thank God we have this.
I love it.
The moon is there for us to share. Where are you?
You don't love it. That's not possible.
Wow.
Was I lying when I said that you could actually hear the words that he's singing for a change, though?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
It doesn't help.
It doesn't
make
help,
it any
though.
Better.
Yeah.
Well, he's not classically a terrific singer.
Right. So you don't take on a Frank Sinatra crooning number if you can't sing. What part of that is great to you?
I don't know, just the atmosphere, the production on it. It's just it's got a mood. It's just it sounds like just a saloon singer. I don't know. I just enjoy it.
It's got a mood, all right.
Ralph, I'll tell you the part that is enjoyable to him is the fact that we hate it.
Not at all.
The fact that no one could like it makes him love it.
That's correct. I've been loving Bob Dylan since before I met any of you, and I will continue to long after we've parted ways.
I'm not saying you can't love Bob Dylan's work, but you can also be realistic and say whether he does something good or not.
I like this this song very much.
I want to see your identification, please. Today's celebrity birthdays: George Lucas is 70, Robert Zemeckis is 62, Tim Roth turns 53. Kate Blanchett's 45. Sophia Coppola, the director, 43 years old today. Dan Auerbach of Black Keys is 35, as is Uriah Faber of the UFC. Amber Tamblyn's 31. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg turns 30 years old today. And actress Miranda Cosgrove is 21.
No bell for Miranda Cosgrove?
I think so, too, yeah.
Come on now.
Yep.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Weedy Roast 2014 tickets. Go!
It's the Wheel of Celebrities, the Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities, Wheel of Celebrities.
Here's the thing. We put the tickets on sale for the K-Rock Weenie Rose to the K-Rock Street Team members, and they just sell out. No matter how many we make, people just buy them all, and then they're gone, and then you can't buy them anymore.
Oh, there's plenty left.
Well, I don't know about that.
There's tons.
I think it's sold out.
Ticketmaster, just go. You get a bunch of them.
Sold out. Can't buy them, but we are giving them away between now and the show on May 31st at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. And we're doing it this time with something we call the Wheel of Celebrity Voices. Kevin, how's this one work?
Well, we spin the wheel, and it lands on a celebrity, and then that person reads lyrics.
We've got a room full of celebrities next door.
Right?
Yep.
And then you have to tell us the name of the artist and the song that those lyrics are from. Artist and song.
All right. And then if you're right, you go into the drawing, and someone in this segment will win tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014. Who's our first contestant?
Our first contestant is Rachel. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, how are
you? Rachel's calling us from Chicago.
Is that true, Rachel?
Yeah, I already have a flight booked.
Nice.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, you better win tickets.
Who is it, the whole show, or is there someone in particular that you're stalking that you need to see?
I'm stalking Bastille.
Bestia. Okay. All right. Good choice. He danced pretty dreamy. All right. Let's spin the wheel. Let's find out who your celebrity is.
All right. Wheel of Celebrities lands on Party Bus Kevin.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here.
Party Bus Kevin.
Hi, sober Kevin.
Try and speak clearly so Rachel can understand you.
Oh, I will speak clearly.
Okay.
I've not been drink.
Okay. Lyrics.
In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey.
That's Beck, loser.
Yes! Nicely done.
In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey.
All right, Rachel, you are one step closer to a...
I'm not finished.
You're finished. I'm sorry, Party Bus Kevin. We're going to have to ask you to leave.
I'm going to go back bus.
All right. Okay, you go back to the bus. Let's meet Robert. He's up next. He's on line two. He's our next contestant on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Robert.
Hi, good morning.
All right.
Is that guy a celebrity who just walked out here? That drunk guy?
He's not a celebrity? Really a celebrity, but somehow he made it onto the wheel.
Crazy.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be giving you lyrics today, Robert.
Okay.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Robert, you ready for the whole thing with the games and everything?
I'm ready, Arnold.
All right, here we go. 40 days and 40 nights, I waited for a girl like you to come and save my life. All the days I waited for you. You know the ones who said... I'd never find someone like you.
Fits in the tantrums out of my league.
Very impressive.
Come with me if you want to live.
Okay. Thank you, Arnold.
Hey, Governor, we had your daughter in here the other day. She was very sweet. Very nice lady.
Yeah, she's, you know, she takes after me. She's got brains and looks and everything.
She does have brains and looks.
Yes,
I'm not
success.
Sure she takes after you. All right. Thanks for coming in today, Arnold.
So I'm done now? Yep. I'm leaving?
Yes, you are. Valerie, good morning.
It's a long drive to get in here.
I know. I apologize. Maybe the wheel will land on you again.
All right. I'll stand by.
Valerie, you ready for your lyrics?
I think so.
Who's the celebrity, Kevin?
This time it landed on Homer Simpson.
Homer. How are you?
Simpson. Oh, oh, Schwarzenegger just punched me.
Good luck, Valerie.
Thank you.
I tried carrying the weight of the world, but I only have two hands. Hope I get the chance to travel the world, but I don't have any plans.
Oh, Homer, you make it sound so sad. Oh. What song is that, please?
Oh, man. Can you play it again, please?
No.
Play it again? What does that even mean?
Homer, can you play it again?
No.
No, we already read the lyrics. You gotta guess. It's one of the bands at the Weenie Roast.
We were looking for Avicii, Wake Me Up.
I tried carrying the weight of the world.
Sorry about that.
Thanks for playing, though.
Let's go to Steve in Azusa. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how are you doing this morning?
Very good, thank you. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
Good luck. And Christopher Walken will be giving you lyrics.
Wow.
Christopher Walken.
Very exciting.
You've been in like the last four games and it hasn't landed on you.
I've been sitting here waiting. My eggs are getting cold. I was left to my own devices. Many days fell away with nothing to show. And the walls kept tumbling down in a city that we love. Great clouds roll over the hills, bringing darkness from above.
Awesome. That is Pompeii by Bastille.
Yes.
Pretty good contestants today, I got to say.
No kidding. And by the way, imagine how excited Rachel is on hold listening to that. We should go get a hand check before we move on.
Marissa, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Wheel of Celebrities. Here you go. I was going to say Bad Animals.
Yes, you were.
Yep. It is not that. William Shatner.
The captain.
William Shatner.
Kevin and Bean, pleasure to be here.
It's great to see you again, Bill.
I haven't got your check yet for your table. For my charity event.
It's in the mail.
All right.
Yep.
Robert's got a quick hand. He'll look around the room. He won't tell you his plan. He's got a rolled cigarette hanging out his mouth. He's a cowboy kid.
Would that be Foster the People, Pumped Up Kicks?
Yes, it would be.
Unbelievable.
This might be the best we've ever had with lyrics.
I gotta tell you, these contestants are so much better at this game than I would ever be.
Agreed. Really. Our next contestant is Rebecca. Hi there, Rebecca.
Hi.
Let's see who's going to give you your lyrics today. Good luck.
Okay.
And it is Al Pacino.
Ooh-ah.
Al Pacino.
All right.
Al, how did you know it was going to land on you? You're already in here.
Well, Chris Walken and I were eating eggs.
Okay. I'm sorry I asked.
We always share. I can't finish a whole plate of eggs myself.
Right. I apologize. All right,
too much information.
I sit down and I got to worry about cholesterol.
Okay. All right.
My leaky gut.
Let's hear some lyrics from another band and another song are going to be at the Weenie Roast.
All right. She knows what I think about. And what I think about. One love. Two mouths. One love. One house. No shirt. No blouse. Just us. You'll find out. Ooh-ah.
Rebecca?
That's the Neighborhood Sweater Weather.
That's unbelievable to
me. It is. We got time for just one more contestant, one more spin of the wheel. It's going to be Jose, who's going to go last.
Hi, Jose.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Good morning, Jose.
Good morning to you, sir.
And how are you, fine sir?
And peace be Huzzah! With you as well.
Huzzah!
All right. Party Bus Kevin is back to read your lyrics.
All right, Kevin. I'm so back.
You're back.
I have an old bar.
Have you been drinking since the last time we had you here 5 minutes ago?
Just none of your business. What I do when I'm having drinks.
Try to speak clearly.
I'll speak
so
clearly.
So Jose is not penalized.
You speak clearly. Okay.
That's not going to happen either, by the way.
I need some water. I need some water.
Okay.
Okay, I just sip water.
All right, Jose, you ready?
Yeah.
Pulling out jives and jamboree handouts, two turntables on a microphone, bottles of cans, just clap your hands. Just clap your hands.
Where it's at?
Bye.
Yes.
Two turntables and a microphone.
Well, I mean, essentially, pretty much everybody's in the drawing except for
the one dumb guy.
Except for the one guy, right? But only one will win tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014. Lisa May, who's our winner, please?
All right, let's see. The winner is Steve.
Yes!
Steve!
Congratulations, hey, Steve. You got tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
We will see you at the end of the month. Thanks for playing.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
Speaking of music, maybe you did not get a chance to go to New York City to see the smash Broadway run at the St. James Theater of Green Day's American Idiot, that show that won all the Tonys. Well, now it is on the road and in town at the Pan Davis Theater through this Sunday. We could not be more delighted to welcome to the program Jared Napudi and Olivia Puckett, who join us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are cast members of American Idiot. Hi, you guys.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. This American Idiot, by the way, I remember back when the album came out and it blew us all away as just one of the greatest rock albums of all time. And then we heard they were going to make it a Broadway show and we thought, I can see that, but this thing's got legs. I mean, here we are all these years later. It's still out there playing. I mean, there must be really something in American Idiot that is timeless, that it continues to stay on the road and be so successful, right?
Absolutely. It's such a great show. It kind of feels like a play the entire time, but it's also kind of a mix of a concert as well, and it's just such a high energy spectacle that you know, people just can't get enough.
A lot of people, like you know, Kevin and I talk all the time about how we hear songs, we love songs, we don't really pay attention sometimes to what the lyrics are about. There's a story being told from start to finish on that album, but what is it?
I think, you know, Green Day, Billy Joe, and they're just such amazing lyricists, so he really, you know, intelligently wrote this album, and I think it's such a commentary on today's society and, you know, politics, yes, but also just kind of just the you know, suburban 20-something-year-old who doesn't really know what they want to do and how they should break out and not listen to the, you know, the media and everything. So, yeah.
What was your first exposure to the music of the American Idiot album, Olivia? Do you remember when you first heard it or what you thought about it?
Oh, totally. I was in middle school and I was like, this is awesome, because it was definitely in my, like, oh, I'm, you know, feeling a lot right now. So yeah. So yeah, it was, I mean, everyone loved it. I don't know anyone who was like, I don't want to listen to that. So it was super popular, and I do have to say, at the time I just listened to the songs and didn't really, you know, listen to what was going on. And now I'm like, wow, I didn't even know the magnitude of what he was trying to say.
Yeah, especially since you're used to hearing those songs. Kind of, if you don't listen to the album start to finish, you hear them out of context. You hear them on the radio with other songs around it, and you miss the thread of it. How about you, Jared? Take me back to you and Green Day.
Yeah, I was the same way when it came out. You know, I was listening to it and, you know, fell in love with a bunch of the songs from it. But just the whole like, I guess, political message, but also it's kind of a life message. I just, you know, I was like an eighth or ninth grade or something, and I was more concerned with, you know, trying to, you know, date the pretty girls and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
Than you know, really thinking about the direction of, you know, the country and life and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so
politics is not at the top of your list.
No, not usually. Yeah. My voice is changing, you know, a lot of weird stuff's happening.
A lot of bizarre things.
Mom, where's this hair coming from?
That's what I'm saying.
So along the way, some very smart people, including the guys in Green Day, figured out a way to kind of expand this and write dialogue and add characters and turn it into a play rather than just watching a rock album come to life on stage. I mean, it's a pretty complex story with a lot of moving parts, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. You know, it's actually 95 minutes. There's no intermission, though, which is awesome, because we kind of like how the audience, you know, they sit down, they go on this journey with us, and then by the time they get up, they're just like, you know, their mind is blown. It's just, oh, my gosh, that was such a cool, like, cool story. But yeah, we had, you know, Tony Award-winning director Michael Mayer kind of had this idea to put it on a Broadway stage. He teamed up with Tom Kitt, who, you know, won a Pulitzer, and, you know, they kind of redid the music a little bit to, you know, take some of the like, really hard-hitting songs and, like, kind of soften them up a little bit and add some amazing orchestrations and stuff. And it's just a very fleshed-out, just beautiful piece of theater.
I know the guys have been there. Have they seen you guys perform this?
There's rumor that the band will be here in LA. So
crossing our fingers.
Yeah.
But does that make you a little nervous?
I don't want to know when they come.
Look at Billy Joe, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, tell me after.
Don't tell us until after the show.
I will throw up on stage.
Then tell him.
That's the performance to see then. Jared and Olivia are here from Green Day's American Idiot again on stage now at the Pantages through Sunday, and then you move on to San Bernardino. Before we take a break, tell us about your respective characters.
Sure. So I play Johnny. He is the Jesus of suburbia. And he's this, like, kind of anarchist in a way, just like a guy who is so frustrated with his life and living in suburbia and just wants a change, and he wants to, you know, move on and try to find himself. So he has this great idea to move to New York City, and once he gets there, he's abandoned by his other friend who joins the war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and so then he turns to drugs, and he meets this one to my left, Olivia.
Yeah, and I play What's Her Name?
What's Her Name?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like it was fleshed out as much as it could have been.
Right, yeah.
Well, I was on drugs, so.
Yeah, I'm like, you couldn't have written it down.
Oh, sure. That makes sense then.
Yeah. But, he meets me when he goes to the city, and I'm like, you know, no other girl he's ever seen. I'm really confident and sexy and smart and not like those other suburban girls, which, I mean, who can be confident, sexy, and smart? But, I mean, I'm very exotic, so he's kind of like dipping in a whole other pool. So.
Plus, you've got that name.
What's her name?
Yeah. What's her name?
So he's like, wow, how mysterious, you know?
Sexy. It just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
Now, Olivia, do you do songs that we know from the album, or are you some of the songs that were written for the show?
No, I sing 21 Guns.
Wow.
And, yeah. And then I sing Letter Bomb. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are show pieces. That's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. 21 Guns is the best thing to sing. It's so cool.
How long have you guys been in the American Idiot show?
Almost 8 months.
Yeah, since October.
And this thing has just been, I mean, cast after cast just touring back and forth across the country, right?
Yeah, and you know, they went overseas. They're in the UK, and they went to South Korea and Japan. So
this may tour forever. You guys are going to be 50, and you're going to be singing a Green Day song.
Right, right.
I didn't see my career being... Alone.
All right, we have to take a quick break. Lisa, you have been uncharacteristically quiet, considering we are talking about a Broadway show here.
I mean, I've seen the show. It's fabulous, and I'm so admiring of people who can get up and do this. It takes so much energy to do this show and to do it night after night and traveling around. I'm just hats off, because that's a tough gig.
It's exhausting to watch, but can you even imagine being in the show, right?
Going to be at the Hollywood Pantages through Sunday, but the weekend's a little difficult, so if you want to go, maybe tonight, tomorrow night, Friday night would be a better shot at getting tickets.
You can go to HollywoodPantages.com or Ticketmaster.com as well. Jared and Olivia are here from Green Day's American Idiot. We'll talk some more about the show, and I think, I know it's crazy early, but I think somebody's going to try to sing when we return right after this on camera. Talking Green Day's American Idiot on stage right now at the Hollywood Pantages Theater through Sunday. You can get tickets through Ticketmaster.com or HollywoodPantages.com. Jared Naputi and Olivia Puckett are in studio with us. They are cast members for American Idiot. By the way, Olivia was telling us right at the end of the commercial there that Dad's coming up to see the show, and that's very awkward for her.
It is.
Is your scenes are a little risque? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
Not a little.
Probably.
Yeah, it's pretty.
It probably doesn't strike you too bad until Dad's there.
Yeah, right? It was like it's just work. And then my dad was there when we were in Arizona, and I was like, wow.
This is
wow,
much
my
harder.
My dad is watching this. This is horrifying.
The guys are going to perform for us here in a moment, but I want to ask, when you're acting on a TV show or in a movie, you have to summon the emotions necessary for the scene, you know, one or two, three, five times, whatever it takes to get it on camera. But you guys have to do it every single night, night after night. Mm-hmm. How do you do it? How do you make those lines seem fresh to you and those emotions real when you've done it 100 times?
Personally, I mean, it's especially with this show, it's so passionate and so, you know, visceral, I guess, that I pull whatever's happening that day, because you can only use the same thing so many times. Mm-hmm. So it's such therapy. Like when I go into 21 Guns, I'm trying to save Johnny, and it's not like I can pull from that all the time.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, what happened today? What happened that I could, you know, feel like I could help someone, and then amplify it so that the audience can read what I'm talking about. So that's what I do.
Yeah. I just look for, I look for new things, like just that are, you know, written into the lines or into the lyrics, and just try to, I like to play. I like to try new things out every night and that kind of stuff. So, Yeah, it's actually really cool though. Like live theater is a very rewarding experience because like something doesn't go that well, you just kind of like, you know, keep moving on, you know, just keep going.
You have no choice. It's live.
Yeah, well, and it evolves over time, right?
Exactly. Oh, my gosh.
This that's show the is a whole other part.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we're 160 performances in, and if you compare our show now to what it was on day one, it's just a night and day. Yeah. It's crazy.
What do you get from the audience every night?
Energy.
Yeah. When the curtain goes up and you hear the like roar of the crowd, it's
like, all right.
It's so rock and roll. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm excited. But,
as long as my dad's not here.
Yeah. Then I'm great. I mean, we have a really awesome fan base. Yeah. And then we have people who have never listened to Green Day or seen a play in their lives. And
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So it's cool.
You're introducing Green Day music to people who've never heard it.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And introducing theater who've never been to theater.
Yeah.
Exactly. Doing both.
That's the cool spectrum of it.
Yeah.
Totally.
We've had people who were like, I was going to sell my tickets because I thought it was a Green Day concert. But then I was like, whatever, I'll go watch it. And then they're like, this was awesome. Like, I love musical theater. I'm like, okay, good. Yeah. That's the goal.
Well, there are so many great songs in the show. You can see it at the Hollywood Pantages Theater. Obviously, 21 Guns that Olivia sings, Wake Me Up Before September Ends, is in the show. Holiday, American Idiot. Mm-hmm. And an unreleased song, too, from Green Day called When It's Time is in the show as well.
Yep.
What are you going to do for us today, guys?
Today, we're going to do Boulevard, Broken Dreams.
Oh, awesome. Love it. Jared,
let
Olivia.
Let me just
from...
test your mics real quick. Give me just a test.
Sure. Check, check.
Oh,
check, check.
Little, okay.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Yeah. Oh.
In a dark
fancy.
Cave.
Less, more. You all right?
This is great.
Maybe a little less. A
little less.
A little less.
How about that?
That's good.
Cool.
Okay,
right.
Good.
You ready for it?
Yes, we are.
Let's go.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known. Don't know where it goes, but it's home to me, and I walk alone. I walk this empty street on the boulevard of broken dreams, where the city sleeps, and I'm the only one, and I walk alone. I walk alone, I walk alone. I walk alone, I walk my shadow's the only one that walks beside me. My shallow heart's the only thing that's beating. Sometimes I wish someone out there will find me. Till then I walk alone. I'm walking down the line that divides me somewhere in my mind, on the borderline of the edge and where I walk alone. Read between the lines what's messed up and everything's alright. Check my vital signs to know I'm still alive and I walk alone. I walk alone, I walk alone. I walk alone, I walk my shadow's the only one that walks beside me. My shallow heart's the only thing that's beating. Sometimes I wish someone out there will find me. Till then I walk alone. I'm walking down the line that divides me somewhere in my mind, on the borderline of the edge and where I walk. My shadow's the only one that walks beside me. My shallow heart's the only thing that's beating. Sometimes I wish someone out there will find me. Till then I
Jared Napuni as Johnny and Olivia Puckett as What's-Her-Name. By the way, Lisa, I think we're going to start just referring to you as What's-Her-Name on this show.
Oh, that's great.
Is that cool?
That's
I like
cool.
it so much. Green Day's American Idiot back in Los Angeles for 1 week only. Opened up again yesterday through this Sunday at the Hollywood Pantages Theater. Go to Ticketmaster.com or HollywoodPantages.com for tickets. So great to meet you guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Ship will carry on, body safe to shore.
Like to let that one breathe.
It breathed.
You know? Let it really have its ending.
Hey, Dr. Drew Pinsky.
Arr, matey.
And also Beer Mug's mom still to come on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
How much must she regret the decision she made all those years ago?
A lot of decisions.
Oh, first of all, to let whoever that man was do what he did to her to create that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she had an opportunity to end it all. She gave that up. She let that go by.
Right.
And then every step of the way, every decision she made as a parent leading up to what is now that.
I mean, think how many times she could have just left Beer Mug in a McDonald's parking lot and
right.
just hit the road. I mean, there's a
right.
lot of opportunities. It's not that hard to lose a little kid.
Or when he was on top of the jungle gym and she was saying, be careful, if she had just not reminded him
yeah.
to be careful.
It's true. It could have fallen on his head.
Yep.
Saved us a lot of problems.
Bad choices everywhere along the way.
Of course, we don't know that he didn't fall on his head.
Good point.
Now that we think about it. All right, let's get to the showbiz news. But before I do, I want to give something away. How about tickets to a very cool boxing match that's happening at the Fabulous Forum, the newly revamped
Yay!
Forum? Great fight this weekend. Marquez versus Alvarado happening Saturday, May the 17th. I forget where you can get tickets for this. They're on sale now. Where do you get tickets for the Marquez versus...
Ticketmaster!
Oh, that's right. Ticketmaster.com is where you go to get those. Or... you can be lucky caller number 17 right now at 1-800-520-1067. And I will give you a pair of tickets to attend the pugilistic matchup that is Marquez versus Alvarado.
Box.
No, not a box, just seats on the...
Look up pugilistic.
Oh! Give me the box!
It's not a box. Stop. Stop saying box. Justin Bieber is a dick.
Yeah.
All right, next story.
At least he keeps reminding us of that.
Yeah. Now he's in trouble with the law yet again, this time for what they're calling alleged attempted robbery. There is an investigation currently going on with the LAPD. A woman who was at the Castle Park Amusement Park at Sherman Oaks. You may have been there. Castle Park's where they have miniature golf and batting cage. Kevin actually had a birthday party there once.
I wreck it at that batting cage.
You do. You crushed it.
Was he 10 or 11? Do you remember? What year did he do that, Ralph?
He was a full-grown-ass man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And his wife threw him a birthday party there at Castle Park because I think in her eyes, it is as if she's raising a child.
It was awesome.
Every day. So,
aww.
So she threw him a little birthday party there. We had a good time.
See?
Anyway, Justin was there with his minions. And they were playing miniature golf, and then in the batting cages, apparently they got into a tussle with some other people there at the batting cage, and this woman pulled out her phone to take some pictures. Wise woman, because I think, you know, TMZ would
sure.
give you a couple bucks for those. He saw that, ran over to her, started arguing with her, demanded the cell phone so he could delete any photos that she may have taken. She said no, and put her phone in her purse. That's when he went into the purse after the phone and grabbed it, this again according to the woman. They started wrestling over the phone. He ripped it out of her hands, tried to delete the pictures, but she had the phone locked. So he couldn't do it. She says that Justin did give her the phone back, demanding that she unlock the phone so he could peruse the pictures himself to see if there were any of him fighting with these people. She did, showed Justin she hadn't taken any. That's when he just screamed at her in front of her 13-year-old daughter. You're humiliating yourself in front of your daughter. Why don't you just get out of here? Her daughter started to cry. Justin then turned and started screaming at someone else. Castle Park security got involved. And you don't want to mess with Castle Park security.
No, they mean business.
They're former SEALs. And I don't mean Navy SEALs. They actually hire SEALs from the circus and put little hats and bow ties on them, and they make them security guards. Anyway, all this led to her filing a complaint with the LAPD, and they currently are investigating Justin Bieber.
These legal matters have to start adding up at some point, don't they?
He does seem Teflon, doesn't he? Yes. He seems like he does all this stuff, and then we never hear of him really suffering any serious consequences. So we'll have to wait and see.
I mean, eventually it caught up with Chris Brown, where he's in jail for a long time.
Yeah, if you add up enough little things and create enough probationary conditions for yourself, eventually you're going to cross the line and screw up.
And that's why, if you see Justin Bieber out, you automatically pull your phone out and start taking pictures.
Right.
Right?
Do whatever it does to rattle his cage. Correct. Because we want him to blow up so that eventually he has to do some time. Or
he'd be popular in prison.
Or
yes, he would.
Another idea, and I think this is even perhaps more sound in terms of a plan. Just start filing false charges against him. Just start.
I'm not sure that's a good plan.
No. You're the cop. He murdered somebody. Just make stuff up.
That's not a good.
Just level just baseless accusations at him for every crime you can think of.
I think it would be better if they were crimes that he committed so that they could actually stick. Oh, I don't think people need to make stuff up.
I guess you want
to
go do the easy way.
I'm just saying.
That's true. He gives us enough real crimes. I guess we don't have to invent any, do we?
Not really.
You remember what we talked about, the monocles, the hipster monocles that were coming around? That was the new trend, hipster monocles.
Sure.
I didn't think anything could be more disturbing to me than that, but this is apparently
something's
one
worse?
Of them. Yes. Apparently, hipster shorts now have suddenly taken a turn for men. According to a New York magazine, inseams for hipster men shorts are shrinking as low as 5 inches. Let me give you an idea what 5 inches is. Remember Daisy Dukes? Yeah, for dudes. Great.
Oh, my gosh.
Great. Now we're going to see a lot of guys in Adidas soccer shorts and OP trunks with something peeking out, something for the ladies. So they're going to have one eye with a monocle in it.
Right.
And then one descended testicle for us all to have to deal with. Stop it. Stop it, fashion.
That sounds like a good look.
It's not for anyone.
Are you talking to fashion?
Yes.
Okay.
Fashion's a listener, I know. Fashion has emailed before.
Okay.
Stop it. The Wall Street Journal reports, if men's shorts were a glacier in Greenland, scientists would be freaking out. That's how quickly they're shrinking. So we all have, it's going to be a bad summer on many levels.
Wow, no kidding.
It's going to be wildfires and nuts. That's my prediction. That's the weather. That's the weather for this summer. Just a big nut front coming through Southern California this year.
Oh, nuts.
Indeed, Doc. Today's celebrity birthdays. Director George Lucas is 70 years old today. Robert Zemeckis turned 62. Tim Roth is 53. Poison guitarist CC DeVille. I think he's kind of a funny dude. You ever seen him on any of those reality shows? He'll participate in one.
I haven't really.
He was on a Celebrity Apprentice. I think he did Surreal Life.
He's a good sense of humor.
Very, very funny guy. Seems like a cool guy. 52 years old today. Cate Blanchett's 45. Director Sofia Coppola, of course, of the legendary filmmaking Coppola family, is 43. Dan Auerbach, Black Keys singer and guitarist, is 35, as is Uriah Faber of the UFC. Amber Tamblyn is 31 years old. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg is 30. And actress Miranda Cosgrove celebrates her 21st birthday today.
Bell, please.
Thank you. Go. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
K-Rock presents Coldplay coming up May 19th. Hey, that's just this weekend, isn't it?
I believe it's Monday.
Royce Hall, UCLA. Win your way in every day, many times a day at K-Rock, including 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. You can go to krock.com for all the details, which means we have tickets for you for Coldplay in less than 1 hour from right now here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. The topic of what makes men cry.
Besides women?
Has come up.
Besides going to the ATM?
Bean, you got to go there every time.
Wow, what? Go where? What are you guys talking about?
Nothing.
I said that what makes men cry is you go to the ATM, you don't have any money. That's what makes you cry. What do you think I meant?
Hashtag truth.
Dave is in here because he's a big fat baby, and Dave was watching something on TV. Look, when you tune in to watch a sporting event, you don't expect to cry. How about not even a sporting event? How about just a ceremony? Do you expect to cry?
A speech.
A speech, yeah.
What happened, Dave?
Well, Kevin Durant was accepting his MVP award, and he went on this 20-minute speech about thanking his teammates and blah, 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 whatever.
Right, but didn't care at that point.
No, don't care. Right. All right, this is normal.
Right.
But then he goes into thanking his mom.
Yeah, that
and
was
this does this big speech about how she raised them all alone and they had no food and, you know, they moved into an apartment with no furniture. And
his mom's and crying his, in the audience.
Yeah,
and
he starts crying, and then they cut to Caron Butler and he's crying with his wacky eye, you know. So,
he's got one wacky tear.
Yeah. Tears are going in different directions. It was crazy. But
I have a little of that speech if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant accepting his MVP award.
And last, my mom. I don't think you know what you did. You had my brother when you were 18 years old. 3 years later, I came out. We were stacked. The odds were stacked against us. Single parent with two boys. By the time you were 21 years old, everybody told us we weren't supposed to be here. We moved from apartment to apartment by ourselves. One of the best memories I had is when we moved into our first apartment. Because we thought we made it. And
yeah, you have to be made of stone not to let that get to you.
Yeah,
and, you know, me being a mama's boy, just, you know, I felt it, and it made me shed a tear or two.
Or five.
You were crying like a baby, weren't you?
Oh, I was weak.
Be honest, yeah.
Actually, the dark microphones were there at Dave's couch right there.
Luckily, I was home alone, and no one saw it, so.
What is it? Look, you guys always make fun of me of having no actual human emotion.
You have none.
But what is it that made you cry by seeing how happy he was?
He was crying because of what his mom meant, and they kept cutting back and forth between him on stage crying and his mom in the audience crying. It was very touching.
Yeah. Hmm. It was a moment.
What do you mean, hmm? How can you not understand
Are
that?
Are you baffled?
I guess it's a moment. I mean, I'm happy for Kevin Durant, I guess, but...
Look, I don't know Kevin Durant either, but when he starts talking about his mom like that, it really does, it's very emotional.
Yeah.
It's just fire in the waterworks. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it.
Oh. Exactly. Thank you. We wanted to take your calls, by the way. This is men only this morning on the Kevin DeBean Show for this particular topic at 1-800-520-1067.
Could I just clarify? Human being men, not robot men like Bean.
We're looking for you guys and what made you cry recently. Is that what we're looking for?
Sure.
Yeah. Something fairly recent.
The last thing that made you cry.
That
right.
Made you cry. That's what we want to hear about at 1-800-520-1067. Apparently, Dave King of Mexico is not the only baby, though, because John Hamm, who is the cover feature article on Vanity Fair, did a video interview to accompany the words in the magazine, and he talked about how he went to the movies recently and wept like a little baby, I think at a surprising film for a lot of people.
Frozen. Surprised
no,
I cried.
You didn't.
I was surprised. I was on a plane. Come on. When she turns into ice to save her sister, done.
Frozen. Done. Now, I didn't see Frozen.
Spoiler alert.
But I do know that my entire life changed when I had little girls. Yeah. As soon as I had little girls, I'm an effing mess. Doesn't matter if it's a commercial or what. If there's any kids involved, I just sob like a baby.
We are already getting so much reaction. We'll go to the phones here in 1 second on this topic. But from the Kevin DeBean Facebook page, Marcos writes in Dark Knight Rises, when Alfred cries at the end, I cried too.
Aww.
Barlow says, when Rudy makes the tackle on the last play.
Sure.
Hey, spoiler alert, by the way, on Rudy. Travis says, every episode of Parenthood and Chicago Fire gets me every time.
Oh, Chicago Fire is so good.
Every episode, though.
But do you cry over every episode of Chicago Fire, Dave?
No.
Steve writes in, watching the Clippers lose last night's game due to the refs. That made me cry. So a lot of different variations on things that make men cry. But we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Adrian. He's online, too. Now, this is unusual. This is nuts. How many people cry over science, you guys?
I would say, I'm just guessing here. I'm just none. That's my guess.
Adrian, what's going on, dude?
What's up, man? I am an astrophysics major, and I love science. I'm kind of on the Neil deGrasse Tyson path.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he likes to teach people. He likes to show people what they're missing out on.
Right.
And,
absolutely. Look, yeah. We all love Neil. We all love cosmos. But how does that make you cry? I can see being fascinated by it or inspired by it.
I wasn't bawling. I was tearing up just because he was talking about Michael Faraday, and Michael Faraday had a long run, and
sure.
He went through a lot of stuff, and to see that he persevered to change the world, one man to change the whole world, was very, very moving to me, very touching.
I think you're too smart for us. I got to be honest.
I don't cry for very much at all. Like,
but Cosmos did
but
it.
But Cosmos, that's the one,
but
huh?
Cosmos did it, yeah. All right. Yeah,
that's hilarious. Thanks for the call, Adrian. Appreciate that. Let's go to Brian. He's up next. He's on line 3. I think a lot of people will agree with him on this one.
Hey, Brian.
Hey. So I'll be watching like a sports game or something like super intense, and then that stupid Sarah McLachlan ASPCA dog commercial will come on.
Yeah.
And bring the whole thing down.
Yeah.
And it's like as a pet owner, and I grew up with dogs, and it just, even thinking about that, it just gets me every time.
And that's the intention, of course, of that ad, is to get you to donate money to save the pets. But you're absolutely right. You see the dogs with those sad faces sitting there in the cages, and you just want to let them out and just hug them, and it just tears you up. See, now, Kevin, now we're getting into an area where it makes sense to cry.
Please.
Don't cry over some millionaire and his mom.
Please. I don't believe that you've ever cried over a pet either.
Maybe.
I don't think your tear ducts work.
I'm right there with Brian. Absolutely, sir. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067, or you can get to us at the Kevin Abeen Facebook page or Kevin Abeen, at Kevin Abeen on Twitter. We want to hear, what's the thing that made you cry? Men, you're up. We'll talk to you next here on K-Rock. Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up in a few minutes here on K-Rock. Coldplay tickets for you at 9 o'clock, and we'll also talk to Beer Mug's mom, poor woman. Right now, though, we're talking about things that make men cry. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Hey, before we go to chat on line one, Ryan writes in on the Kevin Abeen Facebook page. The first 10 minutes of Up, the Pixar movie Up. As
yes.
a 27-year-old, I was trying to hold back my tears in front of my buddies. I looked over and saw all of them wiping away their own tears.
So
too
sweet.
Many emotions, he says. So, yeah, that's a popular one for a lot of people to get them all weepy.
All right, let's talk to Chad. This one gets me every time as well. Chad from Corona. Hi.
Hey, guys. Hey, party people. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
So I was watching the Ducks game, Ducks-Kings game on Monday night, and great game, totally into it, and all of a sudden they show a commercial of vets coming home to their kids.
The soldier coming home from war, right?
Yeah. Right, the soldier's coming home from war, and I start bawling.
And the kids are all surprised and thrilled. They throw their arms around them, and then is that an anti-smoking thing?
I don't know what it was. I just was totally into the vets, and then it kind of killed the game momentum for a minute. But tearing up, I was like, hey, take it back to the game. But, you know, those vets work hard, so they should get a commercial.
Agreed.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Diego. He's on line 2. If you haven't seen the commercial, this one is going to sound hilarious, that a gum commercial can make somebody cry. But let's see what Diego's got to say about it.
A gum commercial?
Yeah, the extra gum commercial. The one where he's making those origami cranes for his daughter every time, like, she gets her heart broken or she falls down. And
I don't think I saw that one, but that one breaks you up?
Yeah, because she collects them all throughout her whole life, and right when she's going to go to college, she drops them, and he sees that she's been collecting them.
Ah,
so she's been saving the little paper cranes all those years,
yeah,
and that's what...
Like, that's all the moments they've ever had.
Yeah, that would destroy me, too. I haven't seen it, but that would destroy me.
it's a gum commercial, you guys.
That's
come on.
If it has little kids in it, you're screwed up.
Let's go to Robert. Thank you for the call, Diego. Let's go to Robert. He's on line 5. Again, in the category of unlikely things to cry over, is there ever anything on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air that you would expect would make somebody cry?
Don't make fun of you guys.
But don't call in with The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I dare anyone to just go ahead and go on YouTube, search for Fresh Prince, Dad Leaves, and that episode always gets me. I remember as a little kid, and my dad is still in my life. He always goes in my life, but that episode just always gets me the way he...
just broke you up. I can't remember that happening, but okay.
Let's it all go.
All right. All right, I'll look it up.
Yeah, I'm a wuss. I don't care, but that episode, just thinking about it, I got watery eyes right now.
Are you tearing up right now?
It could just be allergies. You don't know, man. That's that time of year. It could just be a dust storm coming through or something. All right, thanks for the call. All right, let's go to Matt. Again, he's on line 6. It's so weird. If you saw a list of these things, you'd never imagine any of them can make a man cry. But Matt, seriously, what movie?
Alien versus Predator.
Alien versus Predator.
No.
Yeah. So there's a part near the end of the movie where they're all fighting, and the girl kills the alien. Yeah, she kills the alien, and the Predator marks the girl with the alien's acid blood on her face, and it made me cry because he's signifying that she's one of them now. And I just started bawling.
Okay.
How? But why?
All right.
But who? But
I'm satisfied.
You know, I'm confused. I'm confused just as much as that. I have no clue why that made me cry, but I just started crying.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Brian. He's on line one. Let's get away from Alien versus Predator and talk about something that matters, sports. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, party people? Lisa May.
Hello.
Good, thanks.
So what made me ball was the last hockey game when Stan was on his career at, well, not actually the last hockey game, but the last season game.
The last regular season game.
Yes, that was very emotional.
It sounds like it, man. It's not like you're having trouble with it.
Look, I'm a Kings fan, and I really want the Kings to win, especially tonight, because we need it. But okay, no, but that's fine. But Teemu Selänne, when he scores on the Kings, I go, well, all right. I mean, it's Teemu. Okay.
It's Teemu Selänne, right.
He's the one guy. I'd rather no one scored, but if somebody has to from the Ducks, Teemu's my choice.
It's hard not to admire him, that's for sure. I understand what you're saying. Right. Thank you very much for the call, Brian. Listen, before we close this out, it was Intervention, I think, Kevin, was the show.
Yes,
that was
it was.
And there was, and I don't remember the specifics of this episode, but it was one of those like heartbreaking moments where the family encounters the guy and they tell him about how much damage, how much he's wreaked havoc, and the guy just lets out from the depths of his soul.
Can you play the real one and then the auto-tune?
Sure, yeah.
Because this is
it's so heart-wrenching. It was so personal that you almost felt bad for watching it on TV. Like, it was the kind of moment that you really shouldn't be a part of as a stranger. Here's what it sounded like.
Because I know somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
All right, so
that's for real.
That's for real. That's the dad who's been confronted by that, and his heart is crushed.
It's split wide open. Well, when you heard it auto-tuned, it was a whole new level of pain. Ladies and gentlemen, the saddest moment of all time. Dr. Drew Pinsky is the co-host of Loveline 5 nights a week here on K-Rock and also 5 nights a week on HLN at 6. He also looks exactly like Anderson Cooper, I'm being told. Hi, Dr. Drew.
Thanks, Bean, for Twittering that yesterday.
Yeah, sweet, huh? And you'd be happy to know, by the way, that you didn't lose to Anderson Cooper by much in Who's Dreamier poll.
By much. Oh, well.
Listen, Doc, I know you're very busy, and I know you told Dave you're actually going to see a patient in a few minutes. Do you really still see patients?
Wednesdays, all for hours. Hours on Wednesday. Till I'm done.
So you're like a real doctor.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
But you still have patients.
Yes. Don't the time you came, I'm still in the same office. You brought Jimmy Kimmel.
I remember
to do that rectal. This is honest to God truth.
You can't just toss that out.
It's actually something that happened. And of course, Kevin brought a tape recorder.
I did,
which was a little offensive.
It was weird.
Jimmy went with it.
Yeah, he did.
All right. Here's what we want to ask you about, Dr. Drew. We saw an article in the current issue of Esquire magazine. They did an interview with the co-founder of the Boston Beer Company, and he is a billionaire. He's a guy who co-founded the Boston Beer Company, and he goes around the country.
This must be true, then, if he's a billionaire.
That's right.
Exactly. Thank you. So he's not a stupid man, but he drinks a lot in the course of his business, in the course of promoting his product and going around doing promotions and stuff like that. And he says the reason he's able to drink so much and never get drunk, and I've never heard this before, and apparently I'm alone in this because it's new to me, is he drinks active yeast. He gets it at the grocery store, and he drinks yeast before he drinks. It's a white powdery substance, and it apparently absorbs the alcohol to the point where he can drink way more and not get drunk. What's up with that?
Well, the theory on the yeast is that it has alcohol dehydrogenase, which is an enzyme that breaks down ethanol or alcohol to acetaldehyde. It's an interesting theory. Now, by the way, before I go into the theory about the yeast, let me just say something that has been shown to be documented to be true is that one of the genetic features of people with the genes for alcoholism is that they have resistance to alcohol intoxication. So I'm just saying there are genes throughout the animal kingdom that confer resistance to intoxication. I suspect that's much more what's going on here. But let's get into
all right, whatever.
Whatever.
How can we not get drunk?
How can Kevin not get drunk?
Right.
So it's an interesting theory. The problem with, and there are anecdotal reports out there, people swear it works. Again, I suspect these are people with the genes for alcoholism, but be that as it may, It does have ADH, and it does break down alcohol. The problem is it doesn't work at the usual pHs of the stomach. But the stomach pH is kind of complicated, and it's different regions, so perhaps it works in some areas. The problem I have with it is that it breaks the alcohol down to acetaldehyde, which is a real toxin, actually, by the way. It has...
So it makes, it makes the beer worse?
It makes the acetaldehyde is what probably causes the organ damage from alcohol. Some people think it's something to do with the intoxicating effects of alcohol as well. So it doesn't make biological sense that breaking down the alcohol to something worse is going to make you less intoxicated. It just doesn't make sense.
Huh.
So I have trouble really buying that this is factual, though there are anecdotes out there of people who claim it's true.
I know this is a weird question for you, Dr. Drew, because you spend your life in a noble pursuit of helping people.
Oh, this is going to be good.
But how can we drink more?
Are you?
Help me.
All of us, our listeners, look.
Without being damaged.
Have been looking for the magic pill to be able to drink all they want and get the positive benefits of that without the negative benefits of that. Yeah. Is there something they can do to help?
There really isn't. Obviously, taking anti-inflammatories before you go to bed and staying well hydrated with proper – I think staying well hydrated is something that – people have trouble. I want to create a drink that actually rehydrates you properly for alcohol consumption.
Yes, I'm in.
Then Kevin will be able to do as he pleases.
I'm in.
But there's a certain amount of magnesium needs you have that you got to watch that. The sodium and potassium needs that people don't get adequately replaced. But things like Gatorade are getting close. You've got to drink, and you have to drink a lot of it. That's why there are these mobile units in Las Vegas that plug you into an IV.
I know. I love those.
Oh, God. but be that as it may, again, unfortunately, the alcohol effect on the brain is what creates the withdrawal. The hangover is a withdrawal syndrome. And so what I'm saying is, Kevin, if you take some Xanax and Valium in the morning, you'll feel better.
All right.
Kevin
can
does
you
that
prescribe
most mornings
that?
Anyway.
Except I'm definitely not telling you to do that.
Can you prescribe that for me?
No.
All right, Dr. Drew. Well, we'll let you get about your very busy day. You can see the doc on HLN Monday night through Friday night at 6 p.m. And then, of course, co-hosting with Loveline's Mike Catherwood here on K-Rock. Don't miss the Fine Family of Dr. Drew podcast at drdrew.com as well. Have a great day, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
You know, it's funny, earlier this hour we were taking calls from our listeners about things that make men cry.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't the saddest person on earth Beer Mug's mom, wouldn't you imagine?
Oh, I would guess she's like filled with regret.
She just has to wake up every single day just weeping, just like in a ball in her bed, not even able to face the day knowing what she's unleashed upon the world.
I don't know if she feels that way about Beer Mug. She should, but I don't know if she does.
No, I think mothers love their kids regardless.
I guess.
But she's no fool. She knows what she's done. Even Robert Oppenheimer, when he invented the nuclear bomb, the A-bomb.
Right.
Had to regret. He was very proud of his achievement, but he also said,
this is going to be bad for the world.
I am the destroyer of worlds.
Like Alfred Nobel with dynamite, same thing.
Yeah.
At some point, you turn back on, you go, wow, I blew it. Sorry, guys.
I have unleashed a great evil onto the earth.
Well, we're going to talk to Mama Beer Mug right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. And we got Coldplay tickets you can win. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday.
Speaking of tickets, the K-Rock Microbrew Festival is returning to Santa Anita Park. Day at the races. Can't go wrong with the day at the races. Then you add in... it's the Preakness Party, because the Preakness, of course, is running this Saturday, May the 17th. You'll be able to watch it there on the TVs at Santa Anita, but more importantly, get to bet on it. It's going to be a big event. There's booze, food, music. Here's what I'm offering you, a VIP package where you will get to hang with Omar, Dave the King of Mexico. Beer Mug.
Sorry, what?
No, Beer Mug.
Did you say Beer Mug?
Yeah.
You don't have to, though, right?
No,
you can
avoid them.
All right.
We do. Four tickets for admission, VIP admission, backstage access, four drink tickets, $106 that you can bet on the ponies. You're starting off $106 up when you get to that window. Then you take that $106, you slap it down on a nice mid-range filly. Right. Boom!
Boom, you lose it.
No,
you
win.
Oh, right.
You go home rich.
Right.
Gates open at 10 a.m. for this event. All... participants have to be 21 years or older, and if you are 21 plus, call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller number 17, since it is May the 17th, this Saturday, where the event is happening, caller number 17 will win this VIP package to hang with everybody at Santa Anita. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Call me now. You're talking about things that make you cry.
Yep.
First of all, there are moments in all of the first three Rocky movies that to this day make me cry.
Yeah, I agree.
End of Rocky 1. Yep. And he goes the distance and he's calling for Adrian.
Yo, Adrian.
I bawl like a bitch.
Sure.
Second Rocky.
Is that Clubber Lane?
No. No. That's when Adrian goes into the coma because she is in danger of losing the baby.
Oh, right.
And Rocky won't leave her side. Ugh. Cry by the bedside. Then cry in the chapel when Mickey's talking to Rocky. Cry then again. Then cry again when she wakes up and tells him just win. Cry. Then Rocky 3 when Mickey dies. Cry.
Yeah, that was rough.
Cry. But what also made me cry this morning was this watching this video of Carrie Casey Kasem's daughter.
Oh, I didn't see this.
This is a brutal, brutal situation. She was on CNN last night, I guess, asking for people to help find her dad. Casey Kasem, who is 82 years old, now missing because reportedly his wife, Jean Kasem, has moved him from the home that he was living in to who knows where. He was at a nursing home. Now he's gone. And Kerry Kasem went on CNN last night saying, look, if you see him, if you know his whereabouts, you know anything about him, please call the police. This is terrible for his health. A man in his condition should not be moved. He's confused. He's probably very afraid. He's not getting proper medical care. She talked about the last time she saw him a week ago in that very same nursing home. We spent a few wonderful hours with him there. He was able to smile. He was able to say, I love you. But when we said, we'll be back, Dad, we'll be back, he looked at us and said, when? Heartbreaking.
Yep.
And now her dad's missing. So, putting a call out, she said she's going to file a missing persons report sometime this week. It's just horrible, horrible when families go through stuff like this. The person who ends up suffering is this guy, a sick old man, who just probably wants to spend time with his kids, has no idea what's going on, and now he's out there someplace in a brand new environment, strange, and probably terrified.
Is Don on the phone?
And Don is not on the phone for him. So it
hasn't been for some time.
Breaks my heart on every level, that story. Just really, really hurts. And the one bright side of the whole thing is Kerry Kasem, his daughter, is smoking hot.
Yeah, she really is.
Boy, oh boy, is she hot.
And she's a radio DJ, if I remember correctly.
I don't know what she is, but I'm all for it. I think she should do whatever she wants to do because she is hot.
Yeah, that is the important takeaway of this very sad story.
No, it's not the important takeaway. It's the silver lining in the dark cloud.
It's the glass half full.
That's right. You know me. I'm an eternal optimist.
That's what you're famous for. Ralph can always see the bright side in any situation.
I don't like your tone. I think maybe you're being facetious. Justin Bieber investigated for an alleged attempted robbery by the LAPD. That's right.
Fingers crossed.
All happened at Castle Park in Sherman Oaks, a very fun little entertainment complex there where they play miniature golf and they've got batting cages. And that's where an altercation happened between Justin and his crew. A woman who was there with her 13-year-old daughter pulled out her phone to get photos of the fight. That's when Justin went ape-ass all over her, demanding her phone so he could erase any photos she may have taken. She refused, put the phone in her purse. That's when he went into her purse and grabbed the phone, again, according to her account of the incident. They battled over the phone. They wrestled. He wrenched it out of her hands.
How does he win any kind of battle where he's fighting
against any adult, male or female?
Seriously, he's like a 7-year-old girl.
He also yelled at the woman in front of her 13-year-old daughter, screaming, "You're humiliating yourself in front of your daughter. Why don't you just get out of here?" The daughter started to cry. Woman says at that point, Justin turned and started screaming at someone else. Castle Park security got involved. And if only they had Castle Park Jail. Oh, he could have gone to Castle Park Jail like they do Disney. Like a Disney
That's
jail,
right.
You know?
Just put him away for life.
Castle Park.
Guilty, 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 guilty.
Castle
guilty.
Park dungeon, or moat, or something.
I think he's the world's biggest douchebag.
Well, there you go. Police are currently investigating, but it could happen. They could get charges leveled against him, which I think would be hilarious.
I do, too.
Today's celebrity birthdays, George Lucas is 70 years old today. Director Robert Zemeckis is 62. Tim Roth is 53. CeCe DeVille, guitarist for Poison, is 52 years old. Actress Kate Blanchett is 45. Is it Blanchett or Blanchett? Does anyone really know?
I've heard
it
both.
It is both.
Is there a definitive answer on this? Anyway, she's good. We'll call her Kate Good.
Yeah. I think she's won a couple of Oscars, if I recall correctly.
She has. 45 today. Sophia Coppola is 43. Dan Auerbach, Black Keys.
singer and guitarist. He's 35, as is Uriah Faber of the UFC. Amber Tamblyn's 31. Miranda Cosgrove's 21. And Mark Zuckerberg, the man who brought us Facebook and endless of hours we will never get back. He is 30 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Manny Guardado from Sun Valley. Thanks a lot for listening to the world-famous K-Rock here this morning. You just won Coldplay tickets for Monday at Royce Hall, UCLA. We've got them for you every morning this week right at this time. Also at noon, 3, 6, and 9 p.m. You can go to krock.com for all the details. How do I screw up saying krock.com, by the way?
Yeah, it's new.
I guess so.
Let's talk about Beer Mug and Mother's Day. We were having a conversation in the office yesterday, and Beer Mug told us that he, A, gave his mom a $200 jacket.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, Beer Mug, very generous of you. You shouldn't have.
Well, the flow is up, so
that
I was able to afford it.
The K-Rock logo on it.
Wait, what?
Yep.
The kind that they make for employees?
Yes.
I assume?
$200. And then he also gave her a couple of free bobbleheads.
Okay.
And we were having the conversation yesterday, and Beer Mug said these words, and I quote, and Beer Mug, correct me if I'm wrong, but my mom is a fan of jackets. He said those words.
She wears jackets.
Was that? Nope. She doesn't wear. She's a fan. Fan.
She's a fan.
Is okay. That accurate?
That is accurate.
All right.
But wait, Muggs. This is weird. It's weird. Can you imagine another scenario where you would, where somebody would give a jacket from their workplace to their parent? Like your mom doesn't work at K-Rock. Well, why would she have a K-Rock jacket?
I figured, you know, I'm her son.
Right.
She doesn't really listen to the show, but every day, you know, when I see her, she asks me about how work went.
And every day you go, I was terrible. I'm going to get fired any day.
That's besides the point,
okay.
Kevin.
All right.
But no, her son works at the world famous K-Rock. I'd figure, you know, she'd want to wear it proud.
But she doesn't listen to the show or the station?
Not really, no.
Why do you think she wants a care? Look, she's a fan of jackets.
Why don't you just buy me a Miami Heat jersey? Because I never watch any of their games. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Because I'm not your son, Bean, and I don't work for the Miami Heat.
Good point.
Okay,
schooled you.
What was her reaction? What was her reaction when she unwrapped the? If you even bothered to wrap.
Could
it?
I guess?
Yeah.
Her reaction was, oh. That's interesting.
That's kind of how it went. Yeah.
And that's a thumbs up for you.
Yeah,
as long as she didn't throw it back in your face, you're happy.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We have Mama Muggs on the phone. Let's go to her now.
Okay.
Hi, Mama.
Hi. Hi, hi.
How are you?
Happy Mother's Day to all those that are listening.
And to you as well. It's a pleasure to talk to you. And I apologize on behalf of the nation with what your son did for you for Mother's Day.
Well, I thought it was really very thoughtful of him. I equated it to someone giving their mother a broom on Mother's Day.
Oh, really, Mom? You're going to do me like that?
He said you were so excited.
Really? He said you loved it.
Or diet pills, you know, something very heartfelt and thoughtful.
He said you loved it.
Well, I just, in my mind, made it equivalent to deodorant or mouthwash or something like that.
Really expensive deodorant mouthwash.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, Mom. That's not how you acted when I gave you the jacket.
No,
because she's your mom.
I didn't want to hurt your feelings, but on second thought,
yeah,
you know,
why not?
I thought, oh my God, how many mothers received hair dye on Mother's Day? You know, something very warm and fuzzy.
But Mom, are you like not always asking me how work went, and you always want to know what's going on at work?
Absolutely, I love. I'm very proud of you.
You should. First of all, you shouldn't be proud of him.
Hey, Mama, does Mug still live at home?
Well, on occasion.
Okay.
So, yes.
So, I wondered if the reason you ask about work is to find out if he's ever going to be in a position where he can move out and finally give you the peace you so richly earned.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, when he's in the house, it's like three extra people in
yeah.
the house.
Yeah. Well,
it's
a lot of food. Your food bill must just skyrocket.
Okay, good. It makes a beeline from the garage to the refrigerator. I am not kidding you.
Yeah, oh, we know.
Oh, we don't doubt that at all.
Yeah.
So is it likely that you will ever wear this K-Rock jacket?
Well, I like jackets. I like mink jackets, and I like sporty jackets.
Could I ask you a question? Would you say you're a fan of jackets?
I'm a fan of jackets.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Well, good.
See, that's what you told us. My son. I support my son.
But this is like my kid drew something, so I want to praise him no matter how it came out, right?
Absolutely.
That's what I thought.
I have every drawing from kindergarten that beer mug made.
So you won't burn it or sell it, but it will stay in your closet.
Well, I will take it out on a July afternoon. It has leather on it, so when I ride my motorcycle, I will wear it.
We hired the wrong family member, you guys.
Can you work for us?
Oh, you guys are fun.
Yeah.
I do listen to you from time to time.
You gotta. How do you not hate us? Because we're not always 100% kind to your son.
I know that. Yeah. And believe me, I know that. But I'm not always kind to him either.
All right, good. So we're in the same boat. We have to put up with Beer Mug.
Right.
You can't get rid of him. For some reason, we can't get rid of him.
That's about correct.
All right. So let me ask you this, Mama Beer Mug. What were you hoping for your son? Like, where did you hope he would be at this stage of his life?
A lawyer.
A lawyer.
Yeah. So does he ever quote the law to you guys?
No, he doesn't know anything about the law.
Oh, like pay me more because this is in the...
No.
Yeah.
No. The only thing we ever hear about the law with him is him trying to figure out how to get out of all the traffic tickets he gets.
Oh, God.
That's the extent of his interest in the law is how can I get my cop not to show up?
Right. Now, Mom,
he also has a gambling problem. You're aware of that,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, God.
Mom, are you aware of that? He's come
yeah.
in several times to say he's like $3,000 in the hole. They want the money and he doesn't have it.
I know. He really believes he could get rich quick.
He sure
and I
does.
I tell him it's the tortoise and the hare.
Yeah. That's right. Muggs, you wanted to say something before we have to say
that. Yeah. Now, the jacket, okay, you weren't thrilled about it. But what else did I get you, Mom?
Thrilled.
Why don't you tell everybody else what
thrilled.
I got you?
It was very, very sweet of you.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
What do you want her to say? The bobbleheads that you got for free at Dodger Stadium?
No, I got them from here, number one.
Okay. For free?
But it doesn't matter if it's for free. It's a thought that counts, Kevin.
Well, those are my favorite.
Right.
Of course.
That's something you're interested in. You love the Dodgers, of course.
I love the Dodgers. I don't care if they were free, purchased, or stolen. I love them.
You don't care if they're stolen.
I think the bobbleheads were very thoughtful, Muggs. I really do.
I do, too. I just, my face lit up.
But on the jacket, a swing and a miss?
Well, no, I'm going to absolutely cherish it.
Yeah! Said with perfect sincerity. Great
Beer Mug is completely happy with that.
I know he is.
All right.
And I chastised him for spending so much money on my Mother's Day gift.
Well, you're very sweet to not break his heart. And we're delighted that we got a chance to catch up with you. Before we say goodbye, will you say those two words that all listeners want to hear right now?
I love you, Beer Mug.
Nope.
No!
Come on, Mama. You can do better than that.
I love you, Kevin and Bean.
Nope. Nope. Come on.
Mama, it rhymes with...
Schmeier Schmiermug.
There, yeah.
It rhymes with
what? Schmeier Schmiermug.
Schmeier Schmiermug.
Never mind.
No, it rhymes with it, Mom.
Never mind.
Fire my mom.
Right.
Fire your mom until this point.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
First of all, I think Mr. X made a lot of very good points.
Yeah. Yeah, you have certainly shaken the trees, Bean, and your nutty friends are dropping out, I got to tell you. Some interesting emails have been coming in.
I'm getting quite
love
a few,
it.
Too. Listen to Derek, for instance. Bean, I totally agree with you. Not only is being required to carry ID an infringement of personal rights by setting precedent on infringing privacy and in enhancing a police state, it also requires pockets, and that's just not right. If you don't want to wear clothes with pockets, the government should not be allowed to force you. That's how they get you, man. Pockets.
Yeah.
Says Derek, and right on, Derek, right on.
Getting a bunch of emails. The Jews had to carry papers in Nazi Germany. Yeah, you're right. It's exactly the same. You're right. Yeah, yeah. Helping a policeman do his job by carrying an ID is exactly the same as Germany under Hitler.
I am standing with my man, Alec Baldwin. We're on the right side of history on this one. And one day you'll see.
Nut loafs.
Right. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here for a Wednesday. What's going on?
Cut off a big slice of nut loaf and just chow down. Why don't you? All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Stop it. Can't sneak that in as if that's something.
Right.
I'm just saying. Like, that's a point. Point for cake.
Right.
Yeah. This is a bad trend we're getting at in television world.
Bad trend in television.
Yeah. The split season, they're calling it now.
Oh. Yeah.
Split I don't like that either.
I don't like it.
The split season. Well, it started with AMC. They started things off.
Mad Men.
Split seasoned Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Right.
Remember its finale. It worked out very well for them. So now they're split seasoning Mad Men.
They did Walking Dead as well.
Walking Dead
as
well got split seasoned. Now that seems to be the new thing. ABC announced when they presented its new schedule yesterday that they'll have a split season for most of their dramas. Marvel's Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., Grey's Anatomy, Scandal, Once Upon a Time.
Oh.
We'll all split season you.
The only advantage of that, Ralph, is instead of spreading out your 13 episodes or 20 episodes or whatever it is with lots of breaks for reruns, at least if they split season, don't they mostly run consecutively? So when it's on, you can see it 6-8 weeks in a row?
Right, and then it goes away, and then they put another show in its time slot for who knows how long, and then you're supposed to remember and get back to that same time slot and night when it comes back on.
Challenging.
At best. Now, I guess in a DVR world, you can just set up your DVR and just leave it. But if you're used to watching television, let's say, as an active viewer, real-time viewer, and you're used to sitting down on Thursday nights to watch your favorite show at 8 o'clock, and then all of a sudden for 6 months, that's different.
Yeah.
That's a pain in the ass. I don't like it.
And do they do it so that they have a strong show to platform with another new show? It gives them time to come up with something that they want to put on after that hit show?
Yeah, exactly. They will... They'll take some of their blockbuster shows and then split season those and then insert lesser shows in that time slot to encourage eyes to find it anew.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like it.
It just, frankly, I enjoy the time off. I like to have a full season of a show and then have a summer or something just to relax and not have to worry about catching a show, and then I'll see you in the fall.
Right. Used to be like that.
It's my timetable. That's how I'm set. That's how I'm built.
You might need to reset.
I might have to reset.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta love Jimmy Kimmel, though. He was at the ABC Upfronts presentation. I don't know if you saw any of his presentation.
I didn't know.
Hey, Jimmy is not a guy who necessarily cozies up to the company he works for.
That's true.
He's not a guy who toes the company line come hell or high water.
That's what we like about him.
He'll call it as he sees it. Here are some of the lines he said while presenting ABC's new schedule. Apparently, some of the people at ABC have come forward and said, "We've been number one for 4 years," they've been saying. And perhaps in some demographic, in some area, in some twisted way of taking statistics and massaging them in your favor, that's the case.
This is what a lot of them will do, like...
Everybody's claiming they're number one for something.
Women, like 18 to 49. So then they'll go, "We're number one!
We're number one!" In that demographic.
No, you're not really.
Wednesday nights at 10.
Jimmy called him out on that. He said, "I don't know what this 'we've been number one for 4 years' is. The ABC I work for is not number one. We might need to crash on your couch for a while," he said.
Wow.
He also added, "Our shows are all about superheroes or fairy tales. We may be a terrible network, but we're a great birthday party for six-year-olds." President Paul Lee, he said, Paul Lee said, "Bring us your passion. We'll take off the handcuffs." Sounds like something you'd say to a hooker. And then he said to the advertisers who were watching the lineups from all the networks, "Maybe you shouldn't buy any advertising from anybody. Maybe you should pull your money and buy the Clippers." So, maybe good advice for everyone. He makes me laugh. Bob Dylan's got a new single, finally. New music from the legend that is Bob Dylan. He is with the times. He is current. He is now. He is hip. He is happening. He is today. He has recorded a Frank Sinatra song from 1945.
Wait,
that's his new single.
That's him being today?
Yeah, man. Come on. Get with it, Daddy-O.
A 1945
song. Squaresville.
From Frank Sinatra.
Yeah. It's called Full Moon and Empty Arms. You can hear it right now at bobdylan.com if you want, or you can just listen for the next 20 seconds.
How great is Mail Ass?
I don't think that's the new Frank Sinatra.
That's the wrong clip?
Oh, no.
Full moon and empty arms. The moon is there for us to share, but where are you?
So good.
I'd like to give advice to any wannabe singers out there. If you don't have a particularly strong voice, you're not known for maybe pitch or key.
Carrying a tune?
Don't set yourself up for failure by doing a long, protracted, slow ballad that requires you to sustain notes and actually hit them.
Yeah, done by a singer like Frank Sinatra?
Yeah. It may not showcase, perhaps, whatever.
But hasn't Bob Dylan earned the right to do whatever the hell he wants?
Yes, but we can mock it.
I mean, it does not have commercial consideration in mind with the record.
No, but how about note consideration? How about song consideration?
Isn't Bob Dylan really known for...
He's not exactly holding on to those drawn-out notes.
I've never been a fan of Bob Dylan, but isn't he known more for his songwriting?
Yes.
I believe, yeah,
yes.
And 99% of the songs he records, 95% are songs that he has written himself, yes.
Well, maybe then his new single shouldn't be a song he didn't write that he can't really sing very well, is I guess what we're saying. However...
As long as Neil Young exists, Bob Dylan will sound good to somebody.
That's true.
That's
right. Because in comparison, he's pretty strong.
As long as Tom Waits is still in the game, I guess.
That's right.
Got nothing to worry about. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Director George Lucas is 70 years old today. Robert Zemeckis is 62. Tim Roth is 53 years old today. Ever tell you the Tim Roth story?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I was sitting in a bar midday.
Is this a joke or a story?
This is a story.
A story, okay. A priest walks in with a rabbi.
Back in my pre-parenting days, I used to enjoy a nice midday cocktail once in a while.
Okay.
I'd go out with a buddy of mine. We'd have a nice summer day. You get out of the heat, step inside a bar room, and order yourself a cold one and just have a nice midday drink.
Okay.
So I'm in there in this place on Melrose. The place was empty. Except for me and my buddy at the bar, and then sitting at a table, minding his own business, reading a book, enjoying a pint, was Tim Roth.
Okay.
And so... I'm looking over there, and I'm a big fan, and my friend's a big fan, and we're whispering. And I said, I'm not going to make a big stink. I'm just going to send him over a drink. So I tell the bartender, I said, whatever that guy's drinking, please buy him one for me. And so I sent it over, and he said, what's this? And the bartender said, oh, these guys bought you a drink. And he looked over and said, oh, that was very nice. Thank you very much. He goes, usually people are always like, oh, I like your work, but very few people buy me drinks. So he appreciated the fact that I sent him over a cocktail.
The love doesn't translate to the cocktails?
I think
it should.
It does. I think he knew that's what I meant was okay. I appreciate your work, but I think it was nicer that it came with a little something-something rather than just, oh, can I take a picture? Can I get an autograph? I was appreciative in a very tangible way.
Right.
Yes, a very concrete way. Scotch on the rocks can't beat that.
You can drink your appreciation.
Your story is a beautiful
That's
story.
True. That's
From my point of view,
uh-huh.
It's a beautiful story.
Thanks.
I love your story.
Thank you so much. Billy Bob Thornton there. CeCe DeVille's 52 years old.
Kate Blanchett. Captain Kirk, right?
Yeah.
It was.
William Shatner. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
I'll send Bill a cocktail then, too. CeCe DeVille's 52 years old. Kate Blanchett is 45. Sofia Coppola is 43. Dan Auerbach turns 35 years old today. Uriah Faber is also 35. Amber Tamblyn's 31. Mark Zuckerberg turns 30. Miranda Cosgrove is 21 years old today. And DJ Martin Garrix is 18. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We have a brand-new Internet Roundup. We've got your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014. We're going to talk about senior pranks gone wrong. We've got actor, writer, podcaster Adam Carolla, the next president of the United States, in the studio with us. And we're going to tell you a very funny story about Bean trying to surprise his dad.